Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us, Lord. Thank you for just loving us. Thank you for just your word. Lord, we're just really, we're helpless without your word, Lord. We can do no thing in and of ourselves. We can try really hard, and we can make a good attempt at it. But, Lord, without you, without your word, without your spirit dwelling inside of us, we really have no hope. And so, Lord, I thank you for just being a God who meets with us, that is for real, in every facet of life, we can just turn to you, and we can just follow you, and we can trust you. And so, Lord, I just thank you for being good to us in that way, for sitting on the throne so that we don't have to try to sit on the throne. We don't have to try to be the Lord of our life, because you already have it figured out. And so thank you for being good to us, Lord. Thank you for just things happening while we were gone. And, you know, you wouldn't even have known that Paige and I were out for a couple weeks, because the word of God was preached and, you know, ministry was happening. And so, you know, that's just the sign of a healthy ministry, when, you know, the people are doing the work. So we do pray for just all the things that are coming up. The harvest party is a big thing. I pray that you would just fill in the spots that still need filled in, and that you would just allow you know, it to go off, you know, without a hitch. I pray for people who are passing things out today. I pray for the community to come, because we don't just have harvest parties to get together and have harvest parties, but we're really trying to reach the community with the gospel. And Lord, we had, you know, 300 people that aren't church affiliated here last year. And I pray that you'd bring even more this year, so that we could just, you know, meet them where they're at with the gospel. So Lord, I pray for Brian as he's preaching out of town today, and just do all the things that go into that. I pray for Blade as he preaches to us today at HBF. And Lord, I pray you just get the glory for all of it, because without you, we can't really do it anyway. And so I pray you'd speak to us today out of the book of Acts as we jump back into it, and that you would just get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. Speaking of the vision conference, both of the babies were like staring at me. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Speaking of the vision conference that was last spring, we talked about Blade. Surely you remember Vinny and Megan Nigro. You guys remember them? The dude that's on fire going to Kosovo. So they left for Kosovo. They got on a one-way flight to Christina, Kosovo last Tuesday. And so they're there. Things are going good. I've been texting Vinny, and man, they're excited. And so I could tell you stories. I got to hang out with Vinny some when we were in Ohio. That was one of the main reasons I went, is I wanted to go see Vinny again before he left. But I went because Brian wanted me to go, but I really wanted to touch base with Vinny and Megan. We got to hang out with them. And God has done some just... like, sometimes you have circumstances, or like things fall into place in your life, and it's like, there's no way that's a coincidence. And then multiply that by like 10, and he had some things in just the last few weeks before he left that were like, those are just kisses from God, just connections, you know. And I could tell you stories about it, but I'm not here to tell stories. But it's really cool. God's doing some things, and I'm excited. Don't be surprised if we don't have a trip going to Kosovo in the next year and a half, because as soon as they get settled, we're going. So anyway, cool things are happening. And so just be praying for Vinny and Megan. They're on the ground now, and things are good. So, okay, Acts chapter, I think we're in 8. It's been a minute. Flip over to Acts chapter 8. We've been working our way through this. I really wanted to get through this chapter before I left, and it didn't happen because it just didn't happen because, I don't know, we just didn't get through it. So anyway, the book of Acts, I knew it was going to take a while to get through. But it's really taken a while to get through. But we're really getting ready to hit the first major transition in the book of Acts when we get past Acts chapter 8. I told you guys that Acts chapter, or the book of Acts, is super transitional. You know, basically you go from the beginning of the books, Jesus has just been crucified, and the disciples are like trying to figure out, like, what do we do now? You know, like, what are we supposed to do? Jesus is gone. Like, we were just following him. And so, and you know, Jesus presents himself to them, and he's like, here, maybe you should try this. You know, and basically he says, you know, you're going to preach to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to take the word of God that you've been learning from me for 3.5 years, and you're going to take it and do it without me, and you're going to do it in my stead. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll do that. And that's basically, by the way, what the church is still doing today. We're taking what Jesus left for us to do, and we're going and doing it everywhere else. But anyway, so Jesus is gone. The disciples are trying to figure it out. And, you know, it went from, you know, a few getting saved to hundreds getting saved to thousands getting saved. And then it basically says that multitudes were getting saved. And, you know, sometimes it'll be like that in your life. And I don't mean that thousands are going to get saved in your life. Maybe they will. I don't know. Maybe you're Billy Graham. I don't know. But what I mean is sometimes you'll have this thought that I'm going to go and do something. I'm going to take a step of faith and do something for the Lord. Whether it's a Bible study or you're going to start witnessing to people at your work or your school, or you're doing these different things. And you might feel like this is a really good thing. And then you start doing it and it's like, I don't really see anything happening, right? This is kind of like, when is something going to happen? You know, it's kind of like me watching my fantasy football team. I'm like, are you going to do anything? Like, you're supposed to get all these points and like nobody's doing anything. Like this was so easy last year. And then this year it's like, I don't understand. This is like anytime you guys want to do something. And so you start doing something for the Lord and you're like, isn't this supposed to be like super spiritual? Aren't people supposed to be getting saved? And you kind of start getting discouraged and you're like, well, I don't know what to, I know that I was supposed to be doing this, but like, I don't feel like it's really working. And then all at once, it's like, the floodgates open and it's like, oh, this is why we're doing it. Because people that I've been praying for, people that I've been, you know, witnessing to, people that I've been, you know, just trying to live my life for Jesus in front of, like all of a sudden they get it. And that's what the disciples are doing. And so it'll happen. It might seem like it's not happening, but just stay faithful. If God told you to do it, what's the old saying? If God called you to it, he'll get you through it. If God's told you to do it, he'll bless it. I promise. And so, anyway, we get through this and we got into, there was the deacons were appointed and Stephen, you know, he's falsely accused. He was one of the deacons. He ends up getting stoned to death. You know, he's killed for his faith. And, we had these at the end of chapter 7, you know, we talked about, you know, we had these two questions. Do my circumstances trump my command and do my feelings trump my command? And, you know, basically, if God's called you to it, it doesn't matter what's going on in life. You better keep doing it. Like, stop trying to find an easy way out or an easy way to quit doing what God told you to do and just do it. And so anyway, you know, fast forwarding through all that, trying to figure out where we're at. I want to do a little bit of review and I want to get to where we're going. Because so in Acts chapter, we get to Acts chapter 9 and that's the first main transition. We basically start transitioning from the Jews to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9, you know, shocker, you know, if you didn't know that. And, you know, the guy that's persecuting the church ends up getting saved. And then basically it becomes Gentile focused. But this is kind of the end of that thing. And so basically what happened was Stephen got killed. And now all of a sudden the church, the early church, they're scared for their life. And it says that they're scattered because now all of a sudden there's people like Saul who are coming and trying to persecute the church. Early on in Acts chapter 8, it says, the church which was at Jerusalem and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, and the Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, right where God, Jesus told them they were going to be going, right? And so this is happening and they're trying to figure out life and, you know, we had this dude who, you know, basically had bewitched the town and early on in Acts chapter 8. And then we got into this next passage and, you know, I had, three examples of peace in your purpose and ministry is what we were talking about. And I got through the first two, you know, because basically if you want peace in ministry, if you want peace in knowing that you're doing what God told you to do, I mean, don't stop looking for a sign. Stop looking for like, oh, well, I don't feel like things are going well, or I don't see God moving. If he told you to do it, just do it. And just stay faithful to it. And so, you know, basically the first thing with doing ministry on your own terms instead of God's is always going to bring confusion. You know, there was this guy that was like, hey, how can I buy the gift of God so that people, you know, can have the Holy Spirit when I pray on them? And, you know, there was that whole deal. You have to go back and listen. I'm trying to get to where we're going. And so you can't do ministry on your own terms. You can't just do ministry and think, well, you know, I want to do it my way. You know, I feel like this is going to work better. And it just doesn't work like that. Do it God's way. If God told you to do it, that's what you need to stick to. Okay. And then the second thing was, you know, knowing where your God told you to be makes doing the hard things easier. And basically, you know, the apostles, they or not the apostles, but Philip, he had to call out this guy for, you know, he was basically trying to buy the gift of God. And, you know, we translate that to trying to work through your salvation. You know, we think that a salvation where all I have to do is believe by faith that Jesus is who he says he is and he did what he said he did, right? And the Bible's actually true. That's too simple. And so we want to tie our works and we want to try to be a good person. And we want to try to say that if I don't keep doing these things, then I'll somehow lose my salvation. Let me just tell you, it is that easy. The gospel is the easiest thing in the world. You just have to believe it. And once you believe it, then it's just like, it's liberating, and you're able to go and do and all these different things. But, you know, it's kind of like in ministry. You have to just know that you are where God told you to be, and it makes doing the hard things a little easier. Right? Sometimes when you're in a classroom of kids and it seems like the walls are caving in, you know, they're taking over and there's only like a couple teachers. What are we going to do? Knowing that you're where God told you to be, it makes it a little easier, right? If you find yourself in a relationship where it's like, man, I don't know how this is ever going to be God glorifying. If you're where you know God told you to be, it makes it just a little bit easier just to keep focused and to keep going. And so anyway, you know, he had to call him out for a couple things. You know, the guy, basically they were trying to get him back on track. You know, sometimes if you've got a brother in Christ that's not understanding what they're really doing and basically they're teaching false doctrine, sometimes you got to be the one that's just like, hey, that's really not right. And I'm not saying like you need to get in an argument with them, because you're never going to win somebody by an argument. But sometimes you have to be real enough with somebody to be like, that's, you're way off track, you know, and what's going on and whatnot. So anyway, that brings us to the third thing, and jump into Acts chapter 8 at the very end. So that's where I want to get to, because this is really what I wanted to get to a few weeks ago when I was here anyway. So there's this guy named Philip. He's another one of the early deacons, okay? Verse 26, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. So all these different things have happened, and Philip, he's just like we are. I hope like we are. He's just trying to figure out what God wants him to do, right? Yeah, you ever find yourself like that in life? It's like, what is it that God wants me to do? Like today, what is it that God wants me to do? He's just trying to be available, right? Okay, so here's where you're at. In verse 26, it says, and the angel of the Lord. We can have a study on that. You can do your own study. You know, the Holy Spirit, okay? Let's just make it simple for now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to him, okay? I mean, we can talk about it. Is the angel of the Lord the same as, okay, we can have a study for now. Let's just, and I'll tell you why I think that here in a minute, but it's the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And this is crazy in today's Christianity. It says he rose and went. Right? He wasn't just like, are you sure, God? That doesn't seem like the cool thing to do. That's not where the people are hanging out. Like, I didn't see that on TikTok, and so I don't really think that's what I need to be doing. And, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's crazy to me that there are still people, or at least there were people, that, like, God says go, and they're like, all right, I'll go. I mean, we want to question God. We want to be like, I don't really think that applies to me. You know, when we feel like there's a call, we're just like, that must be to somebody else. And, you know, we're just like, are you talking to me? Because I don't know, you must not be talking to me. And, you know, it's crazy. It's like God says, this is where I want you to go. Go to the desert. There ought to be a lot of people there. And he's just like, all right, I'll go. And he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, do your own study on what that means, of great authority, under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So this is the guy. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah. It says Isaiah, but Isaiah the prophet. So he's got some sort of a scroll or a piece of the Old Testament, because obviously this is the New Testament that we're reading, so it hadn't been written yet because they were living it. And so anyway, he's reading some of the Old Testament, and let me just read through this and kind of get an idea of what's going on here. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, it doesn't say the angel of the Lord anymore. Now it says the Spirit, right? So the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit is telling him where to go. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, well, now that you're here in the desert, right, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So not only is God saying, hey, I want you to go to this area, but now he says, I want you to go to this person. You know, there's times that you'll feel a call in your life that's like, I know that I need to be more bold about the people I work with. I know I probably should speak a little more to the people that I work with, or the people I go to school with, or the people that I'm around, you know, the friend, the parents of, you know, the friends of my kids, or whoever it is that you're burdened for. And you're like, okay, I get it, God. I know I'm supposed to talk to that group of people. Fine, I'll go. You know, because we're never just super glad-hearted about going. We're never just like, oh yeah, I really feel like, we're always just like, are you sure, God? Why can't we just do it? And so you go. But then if you're obedient to go, then God's going to make it a little bit, he's going to like narrow the scope down a little bit more. this is the person I want you to talk to. Well, now it starts to get really uncomfortable. Not only am I just here, but now I have to actually talk to somebody. Now, Paige, most of you guys know me. I'm not a super outgoing person. And if you only know me from teaching on Sunday mornings, you'd be like, well, you teach that's because God called me to. But if you like catch me outside of here, I'm not just a super outgoing person. It's not that I'm mad at you. I'm just not that kind of guy, you know? So yes, that's where I'm going. Brian wants me to go to this conference. And it's a big conference. So the Living Faith has these big conferences a couple a year. And so Brian's like, I need you to go and meet some of these people. And so anyway, I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go. But I'm taking Paige with me because, you know, it's just uncomfortable. So we go and I'm like, fine, God, I'll go. You told me to go and I'll go. Well, now that we get there, like, now you got to talk to people? Like, the first day, well, we went to church on Sunday and that was awkward enough because this church is massive and people, and you get used to church where you go to church and you know the people. And it's one thing, like, when somebody new comes to church and you're like, I can talk to that one person. But when you're the new person and like 13 people want to talk to you, it's just like, this is really awkward. And so anyway, well, they have this pastor's luncheon and Brian's like, oh, you need to go to that. And I'm like, why? I don't want to. So it's on Monday. And Paige is like, oh, I'll go to do the thing that the pastor's wives are doing. And I'm like, oh, that's even better. You're not going to be there to like be my buffer to talk to people, because that's what Paige is, if you know me. And so I'm like, fine, I'll go. Not only am I going, but now I have to talk to these people. And, you know, Brian's like, he knows everybody. And if you guys don't know this about Pastor Brian, like, we're super blessed. Like, the dude, he's desired all around the country. Like, to come and to teach and to preach. And I guarantee, like, he could have, not that he's looking, and praise the Lord, God's blessing us, but he could have a job he could be a pastor of a church 10 times this size. The knowledge and the way that this dude preaches, I'm just saying. So anyway, I don't think we understand what we have, because when he goes to something like this, people flock to him because he's got such a knowledge and a grasp on things that people just don't really have a grasp on. So that's why he's teaching at these things, and he's always going, and people are asking him to come and teach at these conferences. So anyway, Brian's like, just stick with me. But then, like, I turn around and he's gone. And I'm like, oh, great. Because it's one thing when he's like, oh, hey, so-and-so, have you met Jason? You know, this is one of the pastors that I got at HBM. I'm like, it's one thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, what are you doing? All of a sudden, because you're with Brian, your self-worth, it goes way up. And I'm like, why does, I mean, yeah, because everybody loves Brian. But anyway, and then he's, like, gone. And then it's like, well, who am I supposed to talk to now? And this is really awkward. I don't know these people. And I don't feel like I really, so anyway. Sometimes if God called you to go, you actually have to talk to people. It was so hard. My wife thinks it's the funniest thing in the world, but anyway. So sometimes at HBF, we do this thing where, like, during praise, James will be like, hey, I'll give you a couple minutes, you know, shake somebody's hand that you don't know, you know, and we haven't done that in quite a while. And I always think it's cool when we do it here. You know, I'm like, that's cool. You get, you know, talk to everybody. At First Baptist in New Philly, they do it every service. And like, they get done with praise and they have this span of sometimes 5 or 10 minutes. And I'm like, 2 minutes is a long time when you're the new guy. And so,
you don't know anybody, yeah. 3 seconds is a really,
yeah. So anyway, like, it gets you out of your comfort. So anyway, this guy, sometimes God's going to call you to go to a place, but don't think that you're being super obedient if all you do is go to a place and you don't do what he told you to do when you got there. Right? He says, I want you to go to the place and I want you to talk to the person. And we'll see why here in a minute. So anyway, it says he ran thither, and the Spirit said, go join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, this is a bold thing to say. You know, you ever walk up to somebody and reading the Bible and be like, do you even understand that thing? Right?
The chariot,
yeah,
of Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Sound like you'd go.
Yeah, this dude's a pretty important guy. And he says, understandest what thou readest? You walk up to somebody that's reading the Bible and you're like, do you even understand that book? Like, that's basically what he says. And, you know, all right, that's cool. And he said, how can I? This is key. He says, how can I except some man should guide me? Let me just tell you, the world's not going to just come out and ask for you to talk to him about Jesus until you say something first. The Ethiopian eunuch is never going to be like, hey, is there anybody out here in the desert that wants to come and help me understand what the Bible says? You know, you go to your school, there's not going to be like, hey, is somebody going to come and explain to me what the Bible says or your work or wherever else? But if you say the first thing, hey, I see that you're reading your Bible. Hey, I see that you're praying. Hey, I see that you're doing something, right? How's that going? You know, you don't have to be bold and be like, hey, do you even understand it? But like, how's that going? Immediately, the door is open. And he's like, well, how can I unless somebody helps me? He's never going to just come right out and ask for help until somebody at least sticks their foot in the door and says, how are things going? And then it's just like, oh, well, yeah. Actually, since you asked, how in the world am I ever going to, I mean, have you read the book of Isaiah? How am I ever going to understand this book unless somebody guide me, unless somebody helps me out here? Right? That's what he says. How am I ever going to be able, how are people ever going to understand the gospel if somebody doesn't guide them to the truth? Let me just tell you, reading the Bible as a lost person is like reading gibberish. It doesn't make sense. It says that the Bible is a spiritually discerned book. If you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you, it's just words on a page. But once you have the Spirit of God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is discerning these things, right? And it comes to life, and now all of a sudden it means something where it didn't before. So anyway, he says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then it goes on, it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so he opened up his, not up his mouth. That's a direct citation from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. You can go back and read it. So that's where he was reading, you know, and so we've heard that passage before. So that's where he's reading. Obviously, Jesus hadn't come yet. So he's reading this passage about, you know, there's this, somebody's coming that's going to basically get killed for no reason, like a lamb to the slaughter, is what he's saying. And it's like, I don't understand. So he opened out his mouth, and his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and whom shall declare to his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, make this make sense to me. That's what he said. Of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or of some other man? Basically, he's like, explain this to me. I want to understand. It seems like it makes sense, but at the same time, it doesn't make any sense at all. And Philip's like, oh, I got this. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He shared the gospel with him. And then we get to this passage. This is if you're, if you used to be in D1, this is still, there's a portion of this that was a memory verse in D1, but it used to be the entire passage. So I don't know why they started taking easy on you guys. But anyway, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll get back to that in a minute because that's super key. But anyway, in verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus? I don't know how to say that. Anyway, that one place. And passing through, he preached into all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So basically, he meets this guy. He shares the gospel with him because he's just obedient to where God told him to go. He was obedient to speak when God told him to speak. The guy ends up getting saved, and immediately he's like, well, I guess I ought to get baptized, right? If only new Christians felt like that today, you know. But anyway, and we'll get into all that. So that's kind of the passage. So here's the last thing, talking about peace in your ministry, because I got to get wrapped up because I got to go find Blade and pray with him before service. So that was the first thing. That was the thing. The third thing about having peace in your ministry is being obedient to God's leading will put you where you need to be right on time. I think we understand that. Being obedient to God's leading will put you right where you need to be on time. Okay, Philip didn't know this guy or the area, but he went anyway. Why? I mean, seriously, why? Because God told him to. The Spirit of God said go. There's times that we hear these different missionaries come through and we're like, why would you go to Kosovo, right? I remember hearing about this guy named Vinny. I didn't know him from Adam, but when I heard he was going to Kosovo, I'm like, I'm probably not going to get along with this guy. I really thought that. And that was my own preconceived idea, right? Because I'm like, that's just a part of the world. I just don't. And then I met Vinny, and I'm like, oh, it's actually the opposite, right? It's completely the opposite. I'm more drawn to Vinny and Megan and their ministry, and it's just simply because God told him to go, and he's going, right? Too often, we spend our entire life, Christian life, we're like, what am I supposed to do, God? Show me this revelation. Hello? There's ministry opportunity after ministry opportunity after ministry opportunity, week in and week out, for you to get involved to get the gospel where it needs to go. So if you're sitting around like, well, I just don't know what God wanted me to do, it's because you got your stinking head in the sand or somewhere worse. Right? Like, you got, I didn't even mean it like that, so you guys started laughing.
And my dad always told me to pull my head out.
I'm just saying, like, we spend our entire Christian walk like, well, what am I supposed to do? I just don't know. And like, I don't know, do something. Like, get involved somewhere. You know, the whole theme of Passpoint this year was like, just do what it is that God called you to do, right? Everyone be. Be what it is that God has called you to be. Just do that until He tells you to do something different. If everyone in the church, if everyone in the faith would just do that, man, we would set the world on fire. But instead, we've got all these people that are like lukewarm, and they're like, well, I want to go to church, but I really want to do anything. I just want to go, and it makes me feel good. And, you know, and come on. Get involved. Do something. Like, do something. Anything. It drives me crazy. We're like, we're a week out from the harvest party. We're a church of 200 and something people, I think. You mean that not that many people show up every weekend? We can't fill like 20 booths to reach the community? What are we doing? And I'm not preaching at anybody I don't know. I'm just like, I just can't get my head wrapped around it. And we're just like, well, what, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. Do something. Get involved somewhere. Go and meet somebody. Talk to someone, right? You're going to get handed some door hanger things, you know, to invite people to the harvest party. And a lot of people are going to take those and they're going to be like, well, I don't know what to do with these. I don't know. They've got a hole in them. Hang them on the door, you know, do something, right? I don't know. Stick them under the windshield wiper at Walmart. Do something with it. God forbid that you have to talk to them, but do something. Man, I get fired up because we've got, and I'm not saying that HBF is super involved, but I feel like, even so, there's more that we could be doing. You know, we were out for a couple weeks, and it was really nice. But even as I'm driving and we're seeing all these cool things, I'm like, I feel like we need to be in the ministry, and we need to be doing what we're doing. And I understand those times are necessary, but like, man, I'm fired up to get back and get after it. And, you know, and to go and to do. And, man, if God's called you to it, you've got to stick to it. And you've got to go, and you've got to do. And so anyway, I got to keep going because I got to get to the point I want to get to. He didn't know this guy or the area, but he went. You know, have you ever missed what we would call an open door, right? Only to realize it wasn't because, you know, the person wasn't ready, but it was because you weren't obedient to be where God told you to be on time, right? Then he told me this really cool story. I told you I wasn't going to tell it. But anyway, he got invited to go see a really good friend of his up in Buffalo. And he goes and he's like, I just wanted to see the guy before I left. And the guy was like, hey, there's this really cool pizza place down the road. We should go to it. He's like, it'd be the best pizza you ever had. Vinny's like, all right, I'm down for pizza. He goes to this place. He walks in this pizza joint in Buffalo, New York, which if you didn't know, because I didn't know, is in the middle of freaking nowhere, right? It's nowhere. We drove past Buffalo and like it took hours to get there and hours to get to anywhere else after that, right? And so like, it's no wonder those people worship Josh Allen. There's nothing else up there. And so anyway, yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, he goes to this pizza shop. They walk in and the people working the place are speaking Ukrainian.
Albanian,
that's what I meant. Albanian. That's where Vinny and Megan were for a season. They went to, and that's where they, you know, got called to Kosovo. So anyway.
Albanian is the language of Kosovo.
Yes. And so he's like, well, that's interesting. So he starts speaking Albanian to these guys. And they're like, how do you know Albanian? And he's like, well, you know, I was a missionary there. I'm actually getting ready to go to Kosovo. And, you know, the guy's like, oh my gosh, you're going to Kosovo? I can't believe it. Like, I just came from there. And I just moved here, and I need somebody to share the gospel with. He's like, basically, through the long story short, I need somebody to share the gospel with my family. Like, I came here, and I got saved, and he's like, will you talk to these people? And then he's like, yeah, I think I will. Well, to finish the story, he went, he's already made the connection with this guy in one of the guys in Kosovo. And, like, he's went, and he's hung out with a guy, and, like, those are God things. Like, he went because God said to go. He spoke because God said to speak. And wouldn't you know it, God did something. It's crazy. So anyway, back to it. There's more to that story, but I had to tell the short version because we're out of time. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, then that also means you're also going to need to be where God told you to go, right? Is that the harvest party? I don't know. Is that the Halloween outreach? I don't know. Is that the children's ministry? I don't know. The answer is yes to all of them, by the way. All of those things. You need to be involved, right? God said go, so do it. Philip was obedient to go, and look how it turned out. It wasn't like he went, and then the eunuch was like, who are you? Get out of here. He was obedient to go, and God blessed it. Shocker, right? The Bible says if we're obedient to go, then he will bless it. And yet, you know, we go, and we're just super timid, and we don't like to talk to people, and like, oh my gosh. Can you believe that God's actually going to do something in spite of you? It actually has nothing to do with you. If you would just step out of the way a little bit and allow the Spirit to work through you, the gospel would get where it needed to go. But too often we get in the way and we're like, well, what if we tried it this way? And I don't know, it's just a mess. If you're going to be where God wants you to be, or be what God wants you to be, you got to be where He wants you to be. He was obedient and it turned out. The question is, are you obedient to move when God says to move? I mean, that's really the question. Are you obedient to move when God says to move? Not your will, but His. That's what we say all the time, right? Let me add to that. Not your ministry, but His. Right? But here's a couple things I want to look at real quick, because just a couple things. So, there's tons of different teaching on baptism. You go down the street, you can go to a different church, and they're sprinkling you. I don't know where they get that from. It's not in the Bible ever, right? They're baptizing kids. I don't know where you get that. It's not in the Bible ever. All these different things. There's different versions of baptism, and it's a messed up deal. What do you see here? It says that they went down both into the water. Basically, it's baptism by immersion, right? That's what we do here at HBF. So if you need clarification on that, we can talk about it, but there's a reason. It's biblical why we do baptism the way we do it. Completely submersed. It's a picture. I got saved, just like Jesus, right? I got the Holy Spirit. And so when you go into the water, you're buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, the same way that Jesus was completely buried into the ground, and you're raised in the likeness of His glorious resurrection. It's a picture of what's already happened. The water isn't special. Sometimes it's warm. Praise the Lord if it is that day the heater was working, right? I'm just saying, it's always working. It sometimes forgets to get turned on. Anyway, like, there's nothing special about the water. It's just a picture. It's baptism by immersion. So that's how we do baptism. If you have more questions about baptism, just talk to me. But we can figure that out. But that's how we do baptism. But here's what I really want to get to. Because this passage... So, we use the King James Bible. And I'll never argue with somebody about the Bible they use. I mean, here's why. Because I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm not going to argue with you about it. It's just, I'm just not somebody who's going to argue with you. I'm just not. I am 1,000% convinced that this is the Bible that God left for me in the English language. And it is perfect. Like, without a doubt. If you want to know why I think that, I'll talk to you about it. But I'm not going to argue with you about it. And so if you want to read something else, whatever. Your sword isn't as sharp as mine, right? You're getting the ideas of what was left. I'm getting the words that were left, right? And so that's just what that is. Anyway, but there are hundreds of passages where they just take complete verses out. This is the one that I always will go to if somebody, because it's the clearest picture of why I stick with this Bible, right? And there are hundreds of them, and I can tell you all the things, but this is the easiest one for me to show. So Philip goes to this guy. He gets hooked up with him. He's like, hey, how am I ever going to understand this unless somebody shows me? And he says he basically starts sharing the gospel with him. Now, let me just read through this. And it says, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So he's just had the gospel shared with him. And he's like, well, I guess I should get baptized, right? And then, take verse 37 out. Just go from verse 36 to verse 38. And it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. Well, that's interesting. He had the gospel shared with him, and then in verse 38, he gets baptized. I don't read anywhere in between the lines that the guy got saved. Just because he knew the gospel, he knew about Jesus, and then he gets... Well, let me just tell you, every other modern version of the Bible takes verse 37 completely out. It's just gone. The numbers don't even change. It goes verse 35, verse 36, verse 38. It does. It's just gone. And so it's the clearest picture to me, because what happens in verse 37? And Philip said, the things that I just told you, the gospel, if you believe with all thine heart, sure, you can get baptized, because then you're saved. And then here's what he says. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that what we do to get saved? Isn't that what we do? We say, Jesus, you're Lord and I'm not. Jesus, I believe that you're God and I'm not. I believe that you did the things that you... The dude gets saved in verse 37. But yet, these other Bible translations are like, well, we just really can't make that line up. And so that's where people are getting some of this crazy false doctrine from. You gotta get saved. You wanna get baptized? Praise the Lord. Get saved first. Right? Because baptism is just a picture of what happened when you got saved anyway. And so, anyway, like, that's just crazy to me. And that's just a picture of it. I wanted to go more into it, but, like, verse 37 is key. No salvation, no baptism for you. Right? At least not here. That's not how it works, man. So anyway, peace in ministry comes when you're exactly where God desires for you to be. Don't waste your time kicking against the pricks like Paul was. Like, when God says to go, go. When God says to speak, speak. When God says to grow, grow. When God says to change, change. I don't know, just maybe do it His way for a while. Just try it. Right? What is it? Like, the beginning of the year, they tell you, just do this for so many days and it'll create a habit. I don't know. Just do it God's way for just a few days. Let me know how it works. I promise you won't come back and be like, that was terrible. Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, but here's the problem. We're like, I think that's somebody else. Like, we're the body of Christ. And we're like, oh, I think I want to be the brain, right? I want to be the mastermind behind this thing. No, you're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Stop trying to be the mind of Christ. Let Him be the mind and just go. Go, do what He told you to do, speak what He tells you to speak, and just be obedient, man. And I had a lot of things I wanted to get to, but I guess that's all we got time for. So anyway, things are going to change drastically when we get to chapter 9, right? Because all of a sudden, the world really gets started getting flipped upside down, right? And so anyway, we'll get to that next week. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I love You. I thank You for today. I thank You for Your word, Lord. It's just so sweet to us, Lord. And so I pray that that we wouldn't take it lightly. I'm not up here just making a fool of myself, Lord. I pray that this change in our lives and it's convicting us. It's calling us to be more like You. Lord, I pray that You would change us from the inside out. I know that You can save us, Lord, and You have, but Lord, call us to go, to do. Lord, I just pray that we would just be excited about getting the Word of God where it needs to go on time, that we wouldn't come up with excuses of why we can't, but we would start finding reasons why we can, and that we would just go, Lord. I pray that You would just use us. Be with Pastor Brian as he's preaching out of town today. Be with Blade as he preaches to us today. I'm really looking forward to that. And Lord, I just pray for all the events coming up. Lord, we can't do them on our own, but You can reach the community with the gospel through us if we're just submitted to You. So I pray that You would just use us, Lord. Allow us to be the hands and feet of You and stop trying to be the brain, because You're the only person that can allow it to happen anyway. So I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.